It is a good day. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome, or good morning, or good afternoon. It really all depends on where you are, where you live, how you're consuming this fine content. Program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is, in fact, with you every step of the way. You know this. They provide a seamless mortgage experience, as I provide a seamless broadcast experience. We've already heard from the head football coach at Wisconsin, Paul Christ. We will hear from the head football coach at Tulsa, Philip Montgomery. That's coming up next segment. Right now, we will hear from a senior NBA writer for The Athletic. The NBA, as always, is getting it done, doing work. Lots of trades getting done. The NBA draft is coming up. We are joined by a good friend of the program. He is Sam Amick. What's going on, Sam? How you feeling?
Romy, hanging in there, brother. How are you?
Good, dude. Good. Appreciate you. It seems like just yesterday that you were in the bubble, and now the bubble is over, and the new NBA season is starting. Trades are already being made. In a second, I want to get Sam to the deals that the Bucks have made. But first off, what was your reaction to the Chris Paul to Phoenix deal?
I love it. I like it a lot, honestly, for both sides. You hear executives say all the time that, you know, they're always trying to find trade that they work for both sides. I think this is one of those. The Phoenix thing, and this has been highlighted, but I still think it's being overlooked a little bit. The personal connections between Chris Paul and the cast of characters on the Phoenix side, I just think makes too much sense. You know, he was with Jeff Bauer, who runs the Suns front office with James Jones. You know, James, of course, is the GM of that group. James played with Chris, knows him well. And then you got the Monty Williams connection. You know, Chris just absolutely adores Suns coach Monty Williams, who had a fantastic finish in the bubble. And I think what's crazy to me is that the combination of the Suns' strong finish in the bubble and Chris Paul, even though the Thunder weren't able to upset the Rockets, you know, in that playoff series, they came pretty damn close. And you just have this synergy. Like, all right, Chris Paul showed the world that he's still got a lot left in the tank, and Devin Booker needs a running mate. And the West is tough. There's no guarantee for anybody. You look at that entire standings, and maybe there's one team that you can say won't make the playoffs, but I like it for the Suns. And then OKC, they just keep filling up that cupboard when it comes to assets. It's incredible what Sam Presti's done with their rebuild so far.
It is incredible, and he has got an absolute war chest of draft picks, and I love that deal for the Suns. I could keep talking to you about that, but I want to keep moving because there's so many other things. Sam Amick is joining us. Sam, what about the Bucks then? The Bucks make that deal for Drew Holiday and Bogdanovich. What do those two trades say about Milwaukee and their relationship with Giannis?
Yeah, I mean, I like it for the Bucks. Now, like, they gave up a haul for Holiday, and I get that. Some people are being critical of, you know, what they sent New Orleans way. I think it speaks very well of where the Bucks are at with Giannis, and here's why. Like, when they met as a group, Romy, in mid-September, so they have that upset against Miami, everybody's, you know, chins are down on the ground. They meet at Giannis's house for about 3 hours with ownership and management, John Horst, their GM, and they talked about these kinds of moves. And right out the gate, if you remember, in the media, we were kind of speculating about names like Chris Paul and kind of the more shiny star kind of written names. Drew Holiday, is the kind of guy that I think character-wise, talent-wise, just what he is and who he is as a player fits with Giannis, and I guarantee you that he had everything to do with them targeting him. And then Bogdanovich, assuming that deal gets done, that one's a little crunchier because he's a restricted free agent, and that news got out earlier than it probably should have. But Bogdanovich, I've been told, is a guy that Giannis was absolutely targeting and told them to go after. So he's in lockstep with that organization. At this point, I would be pretty surprised if he doesn't sign the Supermax extension that they're going to offer this week, and that deadline is December 21st. So I think for sure it's likely going to pay off for Milwaukee, and we'll see if they can run it back and do some good things.
Sam Amick is joining us. You got me there before I was going to get there, but I was going to ask you, you've written that Giannis repeatedly has made it very clear in the past he does like it with the Bucks. So then how likely is it? I know you just kind of answered that, but how likely is it, in fact, that he will sign that Supermax before December 21st?
I think it's very likely, but with one disclaimer, which is that Giannis and his group have certainly kept things close to the vest. I'm mainly kind of handicapping based on the Bucks' internal belief and their confidence and how they feel. I had one person tell me that even before these trades, they were feeling pretty good about him signing the Supermax. And you go out and get two players of this caliber, I think certainly it it, you know, makes that even more likely. And you got to remember, too, in the media with the fans, certainly we're going to focus on, all right, how many picks did they give up? It was three firsts going to New Orleans for Holiday, two pick swaps. It is a lot, but superstars like Giannis very rarely care all that much about draft picks. You know what I mean? He's looking to win a championship next year. And, you know, the bottom line is you got him a guy in Drew Holiday that has 1 year left with a player option the following year. They could extend him. You know, I think they probably have already had those types of conversations off the books, so to speak. So all those things being taken into account, I'd be pretty surprised at this point if he doesn't sign that deal.
I love it. They're all in. These are really, really big swings. I love what it represents for Milwaukee. Of course, Houston tried the same thing, Sam, and then you've got everything going on there. You co-wrote a piece about the Rockets for The Athletic last week. They've already lost their GM and their head coach. Multiple players are frustrated or want out. Exactly what is happening in Houston, Sam?
Yeah, it's just not good. It's crazy how quickly it's kind of gone off the tracks. You know, Mike D'Antoni leaving, while not unexpected, you know, we wrote a lot about that at the time, that was a pretty tense, uncomfortable situation. And so if you're James Harden or Russell Westbrook, you're looking around, you're saying, okay, you know, you guys, in terms of the Rockets, you got sideways with the coach that we were behind, and then he left. Then next thing you know, Daryl Morey, who has obviously been the architect of that roster for so long and a guy with a lot of respect around the league, Daryl is unexpectedly leaving. And then not only that, the narrative at the time, if you remember, Romy, was that Daryl, he needed some time off, that the bubble was very stressful and he wanted to rethink things. And they talked about him taking time with his kids and his family.
Right.
Well, next thing you know, he lands in Philly. You know, so it just, if you're Harden and Westbrook, you got to be saying, what are we doing here? You know, we just lost some foundational members of this entire group. Now, I do feel for Rafael Stone, the new GM of the Rockets, got elevated from the assistant GM role. You know, he's been there. He's got relationships with these guys. But it just, in very short order, we now know that Russ has asked out. We know that James is not happy. And I don't know where they go from here, because from a leverage standpoint, they have none. You know, other than having these guys under contract for the next 2 years, contractually they have that in their back pocket. But in terms of, you know, the other stuff that matters, every other team in the league knows that they're back against a corner here. And they know that these players are, you know, in today's NBA, to their credit, they know how to apply pressure. They know what kind of influence they have. So I don't know how this ends, but the Harden thing in particular is incredibly compelling. If you're talking about him possibly landing in Brooklyn, you know, the next thing you know, we've got another super team in the East that could go toe-to-toe with the Lakers, and you know, I think would be fun to watch, but you know, I'm not sure what direction it's going to go.
I mean, you're right. That's incredible in and of itself. Sam Amick is joining us. So what's your understanding of the relationship between Harden and the Rockets, Sam? Because the first you hear, hey, I'm on board, I'm a part of this thing, and then you hear, I'd be willing to go to these teams, and Brooklyn in particular. Where does the relationship then stand with Harden and the Rockets?
I mean, it's hard to handicap it. So we were hearing a few weeks back that he was kind of unofficially done and ready for a new challenge. Well, next thing you know, when we wrote our piece about Westbrook, you know, that pulse had kind of changed, if that makes sense. And James sounded to be more like things were getting out of control. So he almost recommitted and said, you know, he was locked in for the season, and maybe he just felt like it was getting messy and let me just play ball and see what we can do. Now it seems to have swung the other way. And whether it's Brooklyn, whether it's Philly, if you're James Harden and you have had playoff disappointments for however many years now, and you know how old you are and you know that your window is closing, then, you know, now is probably the time to make sure that you don't burn a year, you know, and LeBron can speak to that better than anybody. You know, guys at that age, and LeBron certainly has a few years on James, but, you know, you can't sit around and play nice for the sake of being politically correct when you are this talented of a player at this stage of your career. And I'm sure James realizes that. And it puts the Rockets in such a pinch, because Rafael Stone is not going to do a deal, I don't think, just for the sake of getting out of this uncomfortable space. You know, it wouldn't shock me if James and Russ were there on opening night. But, you know, a lot could change between now and then.
Yeah, but to your point, though, man, it would be so fun, right? Like, if they could do a deal and he were to end up with Brooklyn, how could you see, or how would you see, a Durant, Harden, Irving big three working out?
Well, I'm here for it in terms of, like, I don't know if it would work out. It probably would work out, but from an entertainment standpoint, it's an incredible mixture of transcendent talents, but also, you know, very unique personalities. You've got a guy in Kyrie that has learned the hard way about wanting to be, you know, the alpha male and wanting to be the guy with the ball. You know, you've got a guy in Durant that's had his own issues with that. He went to Golden State, was good sacrificing his game and his space for a while, and then seemingly wasn't as comfortable near the end. And next thing you know, he was looking for greener pastures. You know, and a guy in Harden, who, as amazing as he is, among those three, he would be in for the greatest culture shock of all, because it was an adjustment enough getting used to Chris Paul and then getting used to Russell Westbrook. The idea of sharing the ball with those two guys, where, I mean, James is in the conversation for best scorers of all time, but guess what? So is Kevin Durant. And Kyrie is one of the best in the game right now, too. So I think it would be fantastic. And you add in the coaching stuff. Steve Nash having, you know, a reputation as a guy who is a fantastic locker room presence and a voice and the kind of personality who brings people together, but also a rookie head coach. You know, that would be a heck of a challenge to get the best out of those three guys. And again, I mean, the fan part of me that just enjoys the game would love to see it.
Hell yes. Make that happen. I mean, Sam, to your point about Harden having to share the ball with those two and how challenging that would be, I absolutely agree with that. But I think even more challenging would be Kyrie accepting his role as option number three. That's something I would pay great money to see. Sam, last thought, what about the Lakers? How do you think that they're going to look this season, and how do you think they'll approach it, especially at the start of the season?
It'll be interesting, because it's funny. Ironically, you know, last year it was all about the Clippers and load management and Kawhi, and now all of a sudden it's going to be the other L.A. team that's mastering the art of load management. You know, the Lakers have every reason, LeBron more than anybody, to, you know, to take their time and to think about the long game and to have LeBron take nights off. You know, not a real shocker when you hear through the grapevine that, you know, he understands the money that's on the table and why they're going to start in mid-December versus mid-January. Doesn't mean he has to like it, you know what I mean? And so I think that's going to be a very real thing with him just taking, you know, nights off on a routine basis. I like the Dennis Schroeder move quite a bit. I mean, Dennis had the kind of the year of his career last year in OKC, and assuming they lose Rajon Rondo, you know, that's a fantastic addition and a guy that offensively is a game changer, because, is, you know, listen, they pulled it off. They won that championship, but night in, night out in the bubble during the playoffs, you saw that once you got past LeBron and AD, they just did not have a consistent third scorer. By the end, it seemed laughable that, you know, we had talked about Kyle Kuzma as being that guy, and whether it was him or the rest of the crew, it was always by committee. They did not have the third person. Dennis can be that guy. So, you know, Lakers are in good shape, still have other options in the next week or so, but I like what they've done.
Right. He is a senior NBA writer for The Athletic, good friend of the program. He is Sam Amick. Sam, appreciate you very much. Great job. Always good to have you in the jungle.
You got it, Romy. Thanks, brother.
Take care, Sam. Good job. Sam Amick. All right, so I mentioned we were going to front load. Load management, front load, all these various phrases to describe the way things are done. We had Paul Christ. That is Sam Amick. When we come back, I change up yet again. We're going to talk some Tulsa football with the head coach there, Philip Montgomery. Once we do that, we are open the rest of the way. Lots of things to get to. Get yourselves together. Get your head around it. What do you want to talk about? Today is the day, right? Today is the day. Take your shot. Shoot your shot. Get on the phone. Get the rotation. And find out if you're good enough. We'd love to have you. There is no better place to get in on all the football action than with DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Draft your lineup, feel the sweat like never before. Every single run, pass, and catch means even more with DraftKings. It's simple. You pick your lineup, you stay under the salary cap, and then you see how your team stacks up against the competition. It's an absolute blast. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching the game quite like having a shot at millions of dollars in prizes. If you have not signed up yet, what are you waiting for? Get in the game. Get in the game right from your couch. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app right now. Use the code Rome. And for a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Do not miss out on all of this week's action. Enter the code Rome, R-O-M-E. Get a free shot at millions of bucks in prizes with your very first deposit. Code Rome. R-O-M-E, only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
With Merrill Guided Investing, you have the option to work with an advisor at a low cost and minimum. Get started at MerrillEdge.com/investing goals. Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Fenner and Smith Incorporated, both a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor, member SIPC. Great to have them on board. And Hitman Canadian tweets, I'm never choosing Winston. Signed, Marlboro guy. Joe Camel did not want any of that. Parliament was above that. You can have your Newports. Anybody here for a menthol? Cool with a K. Is not participating. This is a really good and legitimate question. If you're Sean Payton, one of the brightest offensive minds the league has ever seen, what do you do? If Drew Brees is going to miss 2 or 3 weeks, and again, I'm no doctor, I just play one on the simulcast, but if my man's got 5 busted ribs and a punctured lung, he's going to miss 2 to 3 weeks. I don't care how tough he is. If he's going to miss 2 to 3 weeks, and your options are famous Jameis and Taysom Hill, two totally different players, and you're atop the NFC along with Green Bay, and you're in a win-at-all-cost mode, win-at-all-cost-right-now mode, and you know this is probably Drew Brees' last year, and you got to get it done right now. If you need somebody to fill the void for 2 to 3 weeks, who do you go with? Winston, who was a turnover factory. As I mentioned, there's a reason why the former number one pick overall is now a backup. And that reason is not just that he wanted to learn from Sean Payton. I mean, it was a really good decision by him. In fact, by the way, this is why you go there if you're famous Jameis. Because now you have an opportunity on a very good team, in a very good quarterback room, with a very good head coach. And if this guy goes out there and he makes plays and he wins, I'm not saying he's Teddy Bridgewater, two totally different guys. But if he goes out there and he wins some games, all of a sudden he's rehabbing his image, rehabbing his career. That's why you go there if you're Jameis Winston. But if it doesn't go well, where does that leave him? And where does that leave the Saints? And again, if you're Sean Payton, who's going to give you the better chance to win right now? I mean, is it possible even that Winston gives them a better chance to win right now, but Taysom Hill is still their quarterback of the future? I mean, just ponder that for a minute. I mean, that's actually possible, right? I don't think that's incongruent. I don't think that's counterintuitive.
Why do you even ponder?
Here's why you would ponder that. Because maybe Taysom Hill is your quarterback of the future, but because he's got such a different skill set, it would require overhauling the offense or making significant changes to the offense. I'm not saying that Jameis Winston, a guy who can chuck it down the field and really push the ball, is the same kind of quarterback that Drew Brees is, because nobody is. But he might be closer to what they're currently running than Taysom Hill. So is it possible that Winston, although a turnover factory, gives him a better chance to win right now than Hill? And that Hill is still the quarterback of the future? Possibly. Can you address that without coming with some stupid cigarette reference, though? I know that's a big ass, too, on my part. All right, more on that in a minute. But as promised, we are joined right now by the head football coach at Tulsa. He's in his 6th season with the Golden Hurricane. The Dodd Trophy Coach of the Week. Tulsa is not only 4-1 this season, but they're ranked in the top 25 in the AP poll. In fact, ranked in the top 25 for the first time since 2010. Tulane is at Tulsa Thursday night. That's a big one. Tulsa head football coach Philip Montgomery joins us now. Philip, it's good to have you on. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you, Jim?
Good, good. One interesting year you've had. You're coming off that win over number 19 SMU, where you fell behind Philip 21-0 in the second quarter, thanks in part to a pick six and a short drive following a fumble. You already had a couple of comeback wins this season. Knowing how good SMU is, let me start right there. What was going through your head at that point?
Well, I mean, obviously that's not the way you wanted to start the game, but it did happen. You know, all of those things happened pretty early, and we felt like we had a ton of time left in the ball game. You know, our defense has been playing lights out all year long. Offensively, we've done some good things, and, you know, we started a game off earlier in the year kind of like that against Central Florida and ended up being able to come back. So our guys had done it before. They understood what we needed to do. They were locked in and focused, and we just kept chipping away at it.
So I'm curious, when you fell behind 24-7 at halftime, was that the gist of your message? Exactly what did you tell your guys at halftime?
Yeah, you know, we've been here. We've done this before. You know, let's not focus on what the deficit is right now. Let's focus on us and what we've got to do better. We needed to start the half in a better way. I thought we did that. We got a good drive going. Didn't convert the way we needed to, but we started moving the ball. Defense really, from the second quarter on, had played lights out, and we knew that was going to continue, and it was just about offensively, let's get some things going, let's start chipping away and cut that lead down.
Phil Montgomery is joining us. That's exactly what happened. You guys continue to battle, and they fight, and they grind, and then you take the lead, and then with just over a minute left, Zaven Collins picks off a Shane Buechele pass to finish off that game. At that point, what kind of emotions were running through you?
Yeah, I mean, just total excitement, elation. I mean, it was just, it's one of those, when you see your team continuing to just grind and fight, and, you know, we talk about it all the time within our program about they give us 60 minutes, we're going to play every second of it, and our guys have really done that. They step up in big ways, they make big plays at certain times, and they just continue to amaze me with their resiliency, probably, of just being able to fight through all the things that we've done this year. And so just happy for them, happy for our coaching staff, and excited for them to get another big win under their belt.
A huge win. We're talking to Philip Montgomery. When you talk about guys making plays, then you've got Collins. He was named Conference Defensive Player of the Week for the third time this season. I mean, just how huge has he been for the team this year? And then how pleased are you to see him gain the kind of recognition that he's getting?
Yeah, really, really happy about that part of it. I mean, our defense has been phenomenal all year long, and obviously he's a huge part of that. And there's a lot of other pieces that go with that. But, you know, he just has made big play over big play and does it in a lot of different ways, whether he's, you know, getting sacks, tackle for losses, interceptions. He returned one for a touchdown. I mean, he's been Johnny on the spot, if you will, this year and putting himself in great position to make those plays. So great to see him get the recognition. I think in my opinion, and obviously I'm biased, but, I mean, he's a first-round draft pick type of guy. He fits all the characteristics of that, and I think he'll have an opportunity to do that one day.
Tulsa head coach Philip Montgomery is joining us. What about your quarterback, Zach Smith? He threw for 325 yards, three touchdowns, and then went over SMU. He's passed for nearly 3,300 yards last season. From the outside, it seems like he's come back even better this year. If you were to go back even further, how much has he grown since he first arrived on campus?
Yeah, really leaps and bounds. I mean, he hadn't played when he got here. He hadn't really played in the last year and a half, so we, you know, had to knock a lot of rust off. Obviously, he had to sit his first year here, and I think that did him some good from the standpoint of just being able to really focus in on what he needed to do to get better as a player, and then the mental part of the game. You know, it's more than just being able to throw the football and do the things like that you have the God-given talent to do. He really became a student of it, and understanding coverages, understanding where he wants to slide protections, understanding where he needs to put his eyes, and that's probably been the biggest growth for him over like even last season to this season. And so he still hasn't played his best game yet, and we're looking forward to that day, but he's continuing to get better and make big-time throws at big-time spots in a game.
And you've got another big one coming up on Thursday night. You know, as I mentioned at the very top, the win means the program is back in the top 25 for the first time since 2010. I understand that you've got a lot on your plate when it comes to getting ready for Tulane on Thursday night, but what does it mean to you and the program to be back in the top 25?
Well, again, I think it's kind of like what you mentioned with Zaven. I think it's just recognition for our players and their discipline and dedication and staying together and fighting through a lot of adversity to get to this point. And so I'm just so pleased for them and how they have battled and now getting a little bit of praise to that. But we got to take care of, you know, Tulane and the next ones to come if we want to continue to stay in that realm and stay in that talk. So we've got to focus in this week, but happy for them and that accomplishment.
Yeah, Philip, you and I have been talking, and I've talked to literally every single college coach I've talked to. We've had this kind of conversation. Six of your games this year have been affected by COVID, with two games being canceled, four games being postponed. So how have you and the coaching staff gone about trying to maintain some level of consistency in a season where everything is always changing?
Well, really, we started talking to our players, you know, when they got back here in July, and really took on the mantra of, you know, let's control the things that we can control, because there's a lot of things that are going to be out of our control this year. And boy, has it lived up to that billing. I mean, even, you know, thinking about last week's game, you know, SMU's played eight games. We, at that point, we'd only played four. And, you know, that's a pretty big differential when you start looking at it. So, you know, with all the things and the stoppages and cancellations and postponements, the only thing that's been normal is change for us in our season. And so our guys have done a good job of adapting to that. We try to give them some type of regular schedule as much as possible. But they've done a good job of adapting and being flexible and continuing to focus on us and get better.
Tulsa 4-1 on the season. They are number 25 in the AP poll, and they've got a big one coming up on Thursday night. It is Tulane at Tulsa, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Tulsa head football coach Philip Montgomery, my guest. Philip, I appreciate the time very much. Good to have you on the show finally. Thank you, and good luck this week.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, too. Good to have you. Tulsa, another one of those really, really good stories. 4-1 and ranked in the top 25 once again for the first time since 2010. All right, so a good day, another good college football day in the program. We had Paul Christ on in hour one. That's another marquee matchup, Wisconsin and Northwestern. Philip Montgomery, the head coach of Tulsa. In between all that, Sam Amick, and now we are open. I talked about one of the more bizarre tweets of the year. MMA Twitter is amazing. UFC Twitter, to be exact. NBA Twitter is always one. But there may not be anything better than UFC Twitter / MMA Twitter. And I thought we had one of the tweets of the year that I got into a few days back. We may have something that tops it. I will get to that. Listen, I've got my plan here. I've got my blueprint. I know where I want to go, what I want to talk about, what I want to get done. I'm flexible, though. It's fluid. It's always a fluid situation. I do my work. I prep. I have my thoughts. But if you want to take this thing in a different way, you go right ahead. But in order to do so, you have to hit me with kind of a transcendent take, either on the phones or on social media. So do what you do. If you want to redirect this thing, you go right ahead. It is kind of like the Titanic, right? Like, we're moving really slowly in one way, and sometimes we're headed right for the iceberg. But every once in a while, one of you can pick up the phone and totally change the direction of the show. I'm curious, are any of you out there today? Why are you playing that, Alvin? What did that have to do with anything? Totally. Totally trashed.
Totally trashed.
So in order to totally change the direction of this program, you need to call 1-800-636-8686. Before we do any of that, though, since it is the bottom of the hour, there is a sports update. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Again, don't forget about the NFL Today on CBS. That's coming up on Sunday. I will be making an appearance, 12 noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, with my views from Rome. I know what they're supposed to be, but they sometimes change midweek. So be sure that you're checking that out. One of them might be that Thursday night matchup. Really good Thursday night game, actually, this time. So additionally, let me just say this. This next thought or rant or take or whatever you want to call whatever it is I do is somewhat graphic in nature. I have to say that sometimes because we are on in the middle of the day in a lot of parts of the country. This next thought or take or rant is somewhat graphic in nature. And when I say it's somewhat graphic in nature, generally it relates to sex. Generally. You know, that wouldn't be what you find graphic.
Sex with me.
May not be graphic to somebody else. Like Alvin. None of that's graphic to Alvin because he gets more sex than anybody.
Dude, now.
Now, if you listen to the program this past Friday, you might remember that I spent some time talking about one of the more bizarre tweets that I've seen in quite some time. Longtime UFC welterweight Diego Sanchez revealed on Twitter that for the, and this is the number he gave, 67th time this year, 67, a UFO rolled up on him in his hometown of Albuquerque. And then, obviously, a number of people rushed up in and said, pick where it didn't happen. He then went on to tell those people in his comment section, they were blasting him with pick where it didn't happen, to, quote, shut up.
Shut up.
And then explained that he didn't have a picture because he does not take pictures and he's not going to reach for his phone when he's in the midst of witnessing something amazing. Like, he's not going to ruin the moment, which is somewhat ironic because he literally reached for his phone to thumb out the account of witnessing something amazing, right? Well, I'm not reaching for my phone to take a picture, not in this amazing moment, but I will reach for my phone to thumb out a text or a tweet in the midst of that amazing moment. Anyway, I left the studio that day thinking that my man Sanchez had an insurmountable clubhouse lead for the craziest tweet of 2020, at least in the UFC. Come to find out last night that that clubhouse lead lasted all of 4 days and then got completely dusted. Enter fellow UFC fighter, Yancy Medeiros. Now, Yancy's been fighting in Dana White's outfit for 7 years. So he's been there since the partnership between UFC and USADA, the United States Anti-Doping Agency. That started back in 2015. So he's no stranger to random drug tests, the type of random drug tests that USADA administers throughout the year. I mean, you never know. That's why it's random. Apparently, he got one of them on Sunday night, at a very inopportune time. From his Twitter feed, and I quote, I was having sex in my living room, and USADA comes pounding on my door at 8 p.m. The best part? The rep trying to be all professional as I look him in the face, knowing this fool heard everything going down. I've been tested pre and post competition, but during is a first. Let me read that to you one more time, because you may think you got the gist of it, but I don't think you did. There's even more there. That's one of those things that in playback or readback, it reads even better the second time. I want to make sure that you can fully digest the immense amount of layers and the total graphic meaning in this. Quote, I was having sex in my living room, and USADA comes pounding on my door at 8 p.m. The best part? The rep trying to be all professional is I look him in the face, knowing this fool heard everything going down. I have been tested pre and post competition, but during is a first. Where the hell do I start with that? First off, this is the humble brag tweet of the century. In fact, I'm not even sure you can call it a humble brag. It's just a straight up brag. Starting any tweet with, I was having sex.
Sex with me.
Is as braggy as it can possibly get. Hanging oversized fuzzy dice from the rearview mirror thinks that opening line lacks subtlety. Anyway, I was having sex. The entire thing is loaded with flex. The whole tweet is loaded with flex. Like the fact that he's just banging it out in his living room, not the master. Quote, I was having sex in my living room. I mean, this stud can't even be bothered to take it to the bedroom. Hell no. Not when his entire house is his bedroom. And he's here to let you know that, too. And then how about this? It went down at 8 p.m. 8 p.m. on a work night. I mean, you know, Sunday night's pretty stressful, right? It just is. I mean, don't you all just kind of trip on Sunday nights? Because you know the work week is starting. That's a work night, right? That's not a weekend night. My man's knocking it out on a work night at 8 p.m. in his living room. Most people eating dinner, getting ready for the week ahead, maybe winding down with some mindless TV. Not Yance. Yance is in a full-blown Greco wrestling match on the couch on Sunday night, 8 p.m. Like, it's one thing to flex the sex. It's entirely another to timestamp it and put a location on it. Like, I'm legit surprised he didn't work in a few more characters and disclose the exotic position. Surprised and relieved. Then he goes on to say that there's no way that the USADA rep didn't hear him. Because, you know, he's Yancey. The work night, 8 p.m., living room, Fabio. And dude, he's so good, it'd be impossible not to hear him doing work. If you were on the other side of that one-inch stucco. Hell, soundproof glass, noise-canceling headphones wouldn't drown out my man's lovemaking. The beautiful noise he was making. You got a hand to this guy. No one has admired their work more than this guy. And he did it all in four sentences of a tweet. But the last sentence is remarkable. Quote, I've been tested pre and post competition, but during is a first. I mean, maybe you could argue that not all sex is love. My man just referred to sex as a competition. Yancey, of course. Man, this entire tweet is a competition. And dude, you are winning. Just ask him. Well, he was, until USADA knocked on his door while he was knocking boots and called an early stoppage to the fight. TKO, literally. USADA literally knocked him out of the so-called competition. The question now is, was it the performance of the night? Did he get the performance bonus of the night? He called it a competition. Pre and post, but never during competition. Like, my man Joaquin could not have written an email as blatantly UFC bro as that tweet from an actual UFCer, Yancey. That'd be like, sincerely, tweeting about having sex during a random drug test.
Sex with me.
Referring to sex as a competition. Getting busy on a living room floor at 8 p.m. when the bedroom is right down the hall on a work night. Staring into the face of a USADA officer while pitching a tent. And hydrating afterwards with a Monster energy drink. Probably. Man, pour one out for the poor tester who drew the unlucky assignment of collecting that sample. Or samples. And pour one out for all of us who just had to hear about it, read about it, listen to it, think about it, visualize it, imagine it, hear about it. Too much info, Yance. Way too much info, Yance. NBA Twitter used to be the best thing ever, but UFC Twitter is now lapping it. Lapping it. My man could not wait to get to his phone with that one. Here I am, minding my own business, just knocking it out on a Sunday night in my living room, yo. When that tester came in. Here I am, minding my own business on the kitchen counter, and there's a knock on the door. Here I am, Sunday night, 8 p.m., minding my own business, on the roof of my house, getting nice. Yeah, I'm just minding my own business on a Sunday night, on the trampoline in the backyard, when some rando comes walking around with a Dixie cup. UFC Twitter. Nothing better. Here's the old school drug test. I wonder if there are people listening right now. There's got to be that don't know what that means, what that drop is. Don't know that that drop was played for every single caller for probably a decade on this program. All right, so let's see. 143, C1 is in already. Rome, nothing wrong with having sex in the living room. Signed, Alvin.
Dude, now.
Drew in West LA is back for more. Yancey. That isn't the type of sample we wanted. Signed, USADA. Romy, sex is a competition. Scoreboard, regards Sean Kemp, DMX, and anybody receiving a paternity test on Maury. Geoff and Lincoln. Content's content, and content is king. But I can never get over that segment. First of all, I love Maury. Maury's great, man. Maury is such a pro. Maury is a broadcast legend. Had him on this show. I love him. Maury Povich. But the fact that you would have a woman and a man on this show and they're trying to determine the paternity suit and who that baby belongs to and the stakes are so high and you got some guy just bouncing down the stage because he found out that he's not responsible and this woman's life is wrecked and the baby's life is wrecked. That is crazy.
Andrew, you are not the father.
This dude's acting like what it must feel like if you won every Super Bowl ever. Yeah, but what about her, Andrew? Yeah, I guess that's not your problem. Hey, Andy? What about the kid without a dad, Andrew? Coming up, a wide open third hour. What do you want to hit on? 1-800-636-8686. You're in the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. And more premium content on the other side of this. Don't go anywhere.